Tradition states that Saint Mary was approximately 16 years old when Archangel Gabriel came to her. And even though she was at that small of an age, she suffered a lot during her young life. We'll go through a couple of these points. Firstly, she had basically no parents. When Joachim and Anna gave birth to Saint Mary, they were old in age and they didn't have children. So they made a promise to God that if they did receive a child, that they would dedicate that child to the temple. So they got a girl, and so they ended up still keeping that promise. And at the age of 3, tradition states that Saint Mary was dedicated to the temple. So she lived there, and her job basically in the temple was to clean up the blood after the sacrifices. So after the priest would make the sacrifices, her job was to wipe the floors and collect all the loose particles and put them in a basket and throw them out. At the end of that day, she would go and help the wives of the priests. So her day wasn't over with that. She would go and kind of serve the priest's wives who were pregnant or who were sick and they needed some additional support. So she had a very difficult early childhood. And then when she grew of age, she left the temple, and then Archangel Gabriel came to her. With the potential outcry of the community and the stigma of what just happened with her being pregnant and not being in wedlock, the punishment of something like that would be stoning. And so, in the face of all of this, right, with faith, and as was read today, she rises with haste and travels uphill to Judah from where she was, and it's approximately 80 miles. She walked that distance while pregnant to serve her cousin. And it just shows you the great level of service that Saint Mary had, and the level of submission, humbleness, and acceptance of God's will that she exhibited in the face of a lot of trials, a difficult childhood, and in the end, sing what's called the Magnificat, the magnification of God, that beautiful hymn that she sung today. In Songs 2:2, it says that Saint Mary is like a lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. So she endures a lot of trials with patience, quietness, submission, love, and a spirit of service. When Archangel Gabriel came to her and spoke to her these glad tidings, she barely said 3 sentences. I mean, it was like a very quiet spirit, a very humble spirit, and she's always an example for us in how we live our life. But when we speak about this amazing visit between St. Mary and St. Elizabeth, we often ignore the more amazing visit between our Lord Jesus Christ and St. John the Baptist while still in the womb of their mothers. So here the Lord in the womb of St. Mary went to St. John in the womb of St. Elizabeth and anointed him prophet. So as the gospel says, that he received the Holy Spirit, that Elizabeth received the Holy Spirit, and some of the church fathers say that Saint Elizabeth received the Holy Spirit after Saint John in the womb first received the Holy Spirit for the purpose of his prophetic role that would happen later, just like in the Old Testament when the prophets, before they began being a prophet, they were anointed. And then he acknowledged this by leaping for joy. He didn't just, there was no activity. He actually acknowledged it by leaping with joy. One of the Old Testament prophecies or symbols of Saint Mary is the Ark of Covenant. The Ark, the one that Moses had with the two angels on top, the one that went around the city and it crumbled. So that was a symbol of Saint Mary. Why? Because inside of it was the Word of God, the Ten Commandments. Inside of it was the manna that which came down from heaven, and the rod of Aaron that sprouted without root. When you look at one of the very parallel stories, really interesting with David the prophet, that with the Ark of Covenant in 2 Samuel 6:9, the Ark of Covenant was brought before King David, and David says, "How can the Ark of Covenant come to me? How can the Ark of the Lord come to me?" Just like Elizabeth says, "How can Saint Mary, how can you, the mother of my Lord, come to me?" And just like the baby danced when this ark approached him, Saint John the Baptist, David, it says, he danced in the presence of the ark. So it was a really amazing prophecy of what would happen later. There are many other symbols in the Old Testament about Saint Mary and who she was. A lot of these are mentioned in the Midnight Praises. We'll go through a couple of them. The Tabernacle of Moses, the manna pot. So if Saint Mary's the pot that carries the manna, which is the bread from heaven. The rod of Aaron, which sprouts without root. The censer, like the one Abuna carries, is the one that it carries the live coal. The burning bush, which we know very well in that hymn that we always sing, that the burning bush has the fire of divinity, but the branches itself did not burn, so that she was like the bush carrying the divinity. The beautiful dove that came to Noah, carrying the branch of peace, symbol of Saint Mary. And as the heavens carry God, Saint Mary carried Christ, so she is considered the second heaven. She's also considered the second Eve, for the first Eve, sin entered into the world. The second Eve, humanity's nature and sin was blotted out, and humanity's nature was lifted up again. She's also considered the golden lampstand, the ladder of Jacob. All of these are amazing prophecies, and it just speaks to the great role that Saint Mary has in the Bible. So here we have two babies in two different wombs that the Bible describes as somewhat communicating, reacting, perceiving their surroundings, and receiving the Holy Spirit. For a few verses earlier, when Archangel Gabriel appeared to Saint John's father, he says that he will receive the Holy Spirit from in the womb of his mother. So this is a foundational portion of scripture for us in our understanding of abortion and the life of the value of life of children even while in the womb of their parents and in the womb of their mothers. So life begins at conception and has great value to us, as this example shows. Now Elizabeth was a very righteous person, as the Bible says, and the cousin of Saint Mary. After receipt of the Holy Spirit, Elizabeth begins to recite, as in the Coptic Midnight Praises, it says, a prophetic hymnology. So she was prophesying, but at the same time she was singing. She was almost like proclaiming with a loud voice. She is prophesying and singing at the same time, as St. Mary would also do later. She praises St. Mary as Archangel Michael just did previously. So St. Mary is praised by both man and by angels. She understood the great honor that she was receiving. So she said, "Why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord would visit her?" She then prophesied by saying, "Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told from her from the Lord." This applies to us as well, as we receive God every Sunday and sometimes more. And we receive God at baptism and the anointing of the unction, of the myrun. So we receive God, and when Saint Elizabeth here says there will be a fulfillment of those things promised, that applies to us as well. Saint Ambrose of Milan says, "You are also blessed because you have heard and believed. A soul that believes both conceives and brings forth the word of God and acknowledges his works." So the fulfillment of all the amazing promises that were made to us will also be fulfilled because we receive Christ. After Elizabeth ends her prophecy, St. Mary begins hers. So the story of salvation begins, has its beginning with these two women. So when my daughter mentions Eve and how sin entered into the world, I always remind her that, hey, remember these two ladies here, because the amazing story of salvation of humanity begins here with these two women, and this event here with the visitation of St. Mary to Elizabeth. So this is not the first time, of course. St. Mary initiated the service of the Lord at the wedding of Cana, when maybe Christ wasn't willing to at first, but she initiated saying, says to you, do it. And so the servants did it, and that initiated the 3-year service of our Lord. And of course, Saint Mary Magdalene, of course, another woman, was the one who first proclaimed the resurrection. So the concept of teaching in our church is important for both men and women. So let us look at a few of the points that St. Mary notes. She magnifies the Lord. So the question is, how can God be magnified? He is what he is. No matter what we say or do, God is magnified and he is glorified in what, because he in him there is no change. He is who he is. But when we praise God and when St. Mary praised him, she brings attention. So she magnifies, just like a magnifying glass. She brings attention to the facts that are true, that God is great and he's amazing and he's majestic, and that it is to our benefit that we acknowledge him. He doesn't need us to proclaim it, but it is to our benefit, because when we magnify the Lord, what that really means is that we're giving a bigger place for God in our hearts, and also in our minds, and also, more importantly, in our actions every day. So that's how we magnify the Lord. And magnifying the Lord is much louder with our actions, even so than our words as well. So she also notes that henceforth all generations will call me blessed. Of course, this prophecy is true, right? 2,000 years later, many generations later, we're still doing that. So this prophecy is a very bold prophecy to make at the time, yet it is true, and it's been true for 2,000 years. And it will be for generations to come. She rejoices in God her Savior. She says, "I rejoice in God my Savior." So she acknowledges that Christ is her Savior. This is, we differ with the Catholics on this point, because the Catholics, of course, say that Saint Mary was born without sin and was born with a pure nature, so an immaculate conception. We believe that Saint Mary was just like us and everything, and it was necessary because for that very purpose that God came down in the flesh, so that he can unite our fallen humanity with his divinity and raise it back up again. And this is the humanity that he took from Saint Mary. And then he notes that, and then St. Mary also continues saying that he has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. So the proud here can mean the Pharisees, maybe, the Pharisees and scribes, who always took the best seats, so they were proud. It could mean the Romans, who were always heavy-handed with how they dealt with Israel at the time. It could mean the Greeks, who would not accept the divine doctrine, but it's more likely it means to Satan and his angels, who openly claimed that they had mastery over the whole world. And so the Lord scattered them with his coming and transferred those whom they that were formerly captive under his sway to Christianity. It was in no time in history where the complex pagan and idolatry type beliefs that existed for thousands of years before that point. It wasn't through Judaism, it wasn't through any other type of religion, it wasn't Islam, which came later, of course. It was through Christianity that all of these complex pagan beliefs disappeared from the earth, pretty much, right? At least in the areas that Christianity existed. And so this prophecy became very true just a couple centuries later. So Saint Mary is an amazing example for us. She continues to be. Our relationship with Saint Mary is not just like a philosophical one. We have a really close relationship with Saint Mary, especially in the Coptic Church. We know if we haven't experienced Saint Mary in our lives daily, we at least know one person who has, right? It's only one degree of people that has either seen some sort of miracle or has had an amazing event happen through the prayers and intercessions of our Holy Mother Saint Mary. So let's end with a quote from Saint Ambrose, and we'll keep it short. So this is Saint Ambrose of Milan. Let Mary's soul be in each of us to proclaim the greatness of the Lord. Let her spirit be in each to rejoice in the Lord. Christ has only one mother in the flesh, but we all bring forth Christ in faith. Every soul receives the word of God if it keeps chaste, remaining pure and free from sin, its modesty undefiled. The soul that succeeds in this proclaims the greatness of the Lord, just as Mary's soul magnified the Lord, and her spirit rejoiced in God her Savior. In another place we read, "Magnify the Lord with me." The Lord is magnified not because the human voice can add anything to God, but because he is magnified with us. Christ is the image of God, and if the soul does what is right and holy, it magnifies the image of God, in whose likeness it was created, and in magnifying the image of God, the soul has a share in its greatness and is exalted. And glory be to God forever.
We want to thank you so much for listening to St. Basil's podcast. We hope that you have gained spiritually from our remarkable speakers, and we appreciate your support towards this podcast. St. Basil American Coptic Orthodox Church is looking to purchase a home, and we would love for you to be a part of our community. We are looking to raise funds towards this novel mission, Orthodoxy in an American Context within the San Diego area. You may donate online through our website, www.stbasil.net. That's www.stbasil.net. Or click on the link below and it will take you to our donations page. You may also mail in your contribution at the address located on our website. We thank you for any contribution, and may our Lord Jesus Christ always bless your heart and home.